Society loves saying the word purpose without giving the context behind purpose. They say purpose is supposed to be this one face, but the truth is purpose has multiple different facets, multiple different faces to it.
Welcome to the Ecstatic Women Podcast. Together, along with some amazing guests, we'll explore and tap into our inner wisdom and have meaningful conversations about developing our ability to self-discover, create, and be present in the world, while also uncovering new ways to think, feel, and cultivate our sense of empowerment so we can live our lives ecstatically. Now let's welcome our host, Alara Sage.
Hello, hello, welcome, welcome to another episode of the Ecstatic Woman Podcast, where we inspire and activate women in their power, in their authenticity, in their bliss to be ecstatic, to live a life that is alive and radiant. I am your host, Alara Sage, the Ecstatic Life Mentor. And today, I am so excited to bring a very dear friend of mine and another beautiful creator in this reality sway to this space. And there's something really special that happens when Sway and I get together. There's this vibrancy of energy. There's this beautiful communion that I always feel whenever I connect with her. So I'm really excited about this space today with Sway Jethi. And Sway is an intuitive vision and brand architect. She is a multi-potentialite entrepreneur and a revolutionary force in the creative entrepreneurial space. That is absolutely true. She has a background as an oracle, as a psychologist, as a mentor, as an artist, as a musician, as a journalist. And through all of this, all of her brilliance, all of these different multifaceted aspects that she is, she combines all of that brilliance, all of that beauty to bring in energetic strategy and design to activate powerful, iconic brands for multi-potentialites. Yay, Sway, thank you so much for joining me. I'm so excited to have you here.
Oh my goodness, you honor me. You honor me.
I absolutely honor you. Yes, I see you, my love. I see you. So one of the things that I feel very strongly in Sway and what she recently brought into her Instagram that just I really felt in my body, and I felt like screaming at the top of my lungs, yes, 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 that is it. That is truth. Sing it to the world, Sway. Yes. She posted a meme that says, purpose is an ever-evolving concept. So Sway, what is purpose to you? And how can you define this to the audience so they can understand their multifaceted selves?
Oh, yes. I, first of all, honor you for having me in this space and being in this playground of frequency that plays off of each other. I see you too, goddess, and I'm so excited to be here. But to go back to the very frequency that we have just set right now. Purpose. Purpose is an ever-evolving concept. I did a research 5 years ago where I had a collective of 30 individuals from around the globe, and I took big concepts, concepts that society loves, you know, bringing forth without giving any context. And one of the words that we played with was the word purpose. And we started doing a little digging around my background in cognitive behavioral psychology and, you know, a major in English language and literature. I love looking at words, the etymology of the words, and how far they date back and what do they really mean. So when I was looking at the word purpose, it lit me up because I was curious as to why is there a particular lens towards this particular word in today's society. I found out that around the 16th century, a philosopher don't remember his name, but he was explaining to his students at that time about the word purpose and how this particular philosopher was going back in streams of consciousness, streams of concepts, streams of knowledge, and bringing forth this idea that purpose is evolutionary because of the fact that we are human-centric. And this particular notion was kind of evolving around the time into the 18th century, 19th century. And today in the 21st century, when anyone talks about purpose, they talk about this one big calling, this one big vision, one big mission. But the truth of the fact is, and this might be controversial, but it's the truth. And truth is here to stir things up. Society loves saying the word purpose without giving the context behind purpose. They say purpose is supposed to be this one face, but the truth is purpose has multiple different facets, multiple different faces to it. And so given the fact that we're humans, and when we look at ourselves from a human-centric point of view instead of a society-centric or structure-centric, system-centric or structure-centric point of view, we are meant to evolve. And as we evolve, our purpose evolves. And sometimes purpose looks like 10 different things at the same time. Purpose sometimes looks like a big concoction of, you know, two different things. Or it looks like that one big calling that has multiple different faces throughout our lifetime. And the fact that this has been evaded in conversations in society really stir something up in me. And I wanted to bring forth the wisdom of the truth that purpose is intentionally, by design, because of our human nature, ever evolving. So purpose to me is embracing our evolution. And that evolution can look messy. It can look like the epitome of perfection. It could be climbing up that mountain and taking in that view and feeling completely, you know, connected to nature, but also it could mean going through day-to-day life and feeling emotions of day-to-day life and being in that space of lostness, foundness, and all of it at the same time. So purpose to me, that's why is ever evolving. And I love sharing this concept as loudly and as proudly as possible, because I think a lot of people get constrained in the idea that this is a container that they need to fit in. You don't, because your purpose is meant to look uniquely to you as you evolve as a human. So that's my perspective to that.
Oh, yes. I love that so much. I'm always saying we are dynamic beings. Nothing that we are really here to be in alignment with can be put into a box, can be said it is this and this only. And oftentimes people say, oh, my purpose or my mission, they think it correlates to their career or their job or their business. And I've always said it's so much more than that, right? Like your purpose comes into every single action that you're doing. It is multifaceted in that way. And I just so strongly stand behind you on, you know, maybe this isn't something that is accepted. And people sometimes really like single-minded concepts because it's easy. Purpose is your job. Okay, great. I can focus on that. However, I think it's so important for us because when we tap into this, we are dynamic, my love. Give yourself spaciousness, right? Give yourself spaciousness to be all the different aspects that you are. That's one of the things I love about you, Sway, is that I feel like you're constantly giving people permission, directly and indirectly, to be the fullness, the wholeness that they are. So come into telling us, you know, where in your life has this purpose really come in where maybe you felt like, ah, I'm the single thing, and then you had this transition or maybe an awakening? What happened for you to come to this, in my opinion, brilliant realization?
Oh, yeah. I first of all resonate with so much that you said. the playground, the essence of the playground that you spoke about, of the multidimensionality that we bring to ourselves. I've always been a child when I was younger that was very hyper aware of my multidimensionality, my multifacetedness. I want to paint a picture, 10-year-old me in a classroom. It was of our homeroom. And the teacher was asking everyone, you know, you're going to soon have to choose your career path. And in ninth grade, which was like a few grades after, we'd have to choose our subjects. And I was so rebellious because that concept did not sit well with me. So the teacher asked, okay, what do you want to be? Asked the entire class. One by one, everybody went up. And keep in mind, I am the way the role was called according to the letters of our names. So I was pretty far behind at the end of the list. So when it came to my turn, the teacher was like, oh, so Sway, what do you want to be? I gave her a list. I kid you not. I told her, I want to be a teacher. I want to be a musician. I want to be an astronaut. I want to be this, that, this, that. And she looked at me and she was like, you know, that's not possible, right? I remember looking at her with these incredulous eyes of, what do you mean? Because every part of me, despite being the singled out person in that room, my teacher having a smirk on her face, giving me, you know, that energy of like, you know, you don't fit in here. And all my classmates being, having this laugh around, subjected towards me, I was still so strongly in the thought. And that thought kept on repeating in that moment. If I am designed this way to be multi-purpose, of all these multiple talents and gifts and skills, there is no way I don't fit in. I am probably the path creator for this. And maybe I just don't have enough representation to, you know, factualize or validate this. But that thought stuck with me until I was 15. At 15, I left home. Because I was in a dysfunctional family that kind of, you know, fed this narrative that you have to be this one thing, you have to be this way, and you have to fit into this and that and this and that. And 15-year-old me was rebellious, bold, and passionate. She is the reason I'm here today. If she hadn't left home and she hadn't made those bold decisions, I wouldn't be here. She decided at that young, tender, non-naive, but yet innocent, you know, with those innocent lenses of wisdom and truth, to apply for an Ivy League university, the University of Cambridge. That's where I graduated from. My career counselor told me, you shouldn't aim that high because it will be much easier for someone like you to get into maybe Princeton, you know, overseas or something like that. And I was like, nope, I am going to Cambridge. And I wrote the biggest essay with the most heartfelt emotions just split on paper to the dean. And I requested, I wanted to do double majors with honors, which was practically not allowed at that time in the University of Cambridge. The dean finally got back. And this was the time I was homeless for about 3 months. And in this period, my friend had called me. I had my little Nokia flip phone, the only thing, along with a few other essentials that I took from home. And she called me. She's like, did you hear? I was like, what? What did I hear? She's like, the dean, the administration from the university is trying to get in touch with you. I was like, what? And they've probably been calling home, so I didn't know. I rushed. And the dean was very pleased. And the administration was like, we are willing to give you 50% scholarship. Come on board. But these are the conditions. You need to finish your university within 3 years. I was like, can I do this? It was the biggest pivotal moment of my life because 15-year-old me knew if I did this, it would open up rooms full of opportunities. That means I could go into any room. I could stand there, hold my head up, and still attract abundance after abundance after abundance. And I decided, you know what? I'm going to do this. 3 years? Okay, piece of cake. I'm going to make this happen. I graduated with honors in English literature and language and clinical psychology in psychological sciences as well. And that kind of evolved into cognitive behavioral psychologist. I did my specialization. I picked up journalism as one of my many specializations. And from there, I just picked up certifications. And fast forward, I was in my early 20s. I was a special educator. That was one of my passions, to work with adults and children on the spectrum. I'm neurodivergent. I am autistic. And throughout my entire life, I've been called high functioning. And that label was another thing that irked me, because to me, the way I perceive the world, yes, it's different. And I guess, you know, I felt privileged to be acknowledged that there's that difference, but the difference shouldn't be so far on that I'm isolated. And that icked me so much. So my mission at that point became to revolutionize the educational system. I did my best. I got awarded as a youth thought leader. My children, my students, I call them my children till date, I changed their lives because they told me I changed their lives. They told me I changed their perspective. They were bold enough to take steps that allowed them to tap into opportunities. But then I realized soon enough, after, you know, almost being 4 years in the workforce, when I stepped into my fifth year and almost, you know, till the end of my fifth year, I realized I couldn't make much change from inside. It was the fact that was boldly written in every room that I went in. And I remember turning in my resignation paper saying, I can no longer do this because I no longer stand by what you are feeding to these young minds. This is not what the next generation should be doing. This is oppression over creative thinking, over critical thinking, over innovation. And I'm not about that. And I left. I left and I started my entrepreneurial journey. I opened up my own media production company, something I've been wanting to do for a really long time. Opened up my private practice and started speaking. I had multiple things going on at the same time. And it hit me in that moment. My goodness, every single person I'm coming across, they're not even aware of how multifaceted and multidimensional they are. Or if they are aware, they're not being able to really show up as their whole selves in their lives, in their relationships, in their world. That's when I knew this is my work. This is a big part of my work that I'm here to do. And I started this journey 10 years ago, and I'm here, 6 different businesses in, a decade into this space, and that is my transformation. I have become the representation that I was looking for as 10-year-old me.
Wow. Such an incredible story, Sue. I mean, outside of just what you accomplished, I honor you for your conviction and your courage to stand there and say, I know what I can do. I know what is right for me. Such a powerful place. So I deeply honor you and thank you for being you. Thank you for standing in that and being a light for all. So important. I have no doubt that you changed those children's lives or those people's lives, your children's lives. So with this purpose, how do you think people, if you were to give them, I know it's a very big conversation, but if you give them some tips or a pointer or a true north to start to connect, because I always see everything as a spiral, right? We're always spiraling. Another way to look at it is the layers of the onion. So it is one step after the next. But what would you recommend for those first steps in beginning to acknowledge, to recognize, to see someone's purpose?
Oh, yes. The biggest thing that I would suggest or invite anyone that's listening in to do is understand and recognize what is your golden theme. The golden theme is an approach that I have cultivated over time, where we focus on your multiple different interests and see what are the values that each of those interests actually bring to life. I am someone who is incredibly value-driven. I am, whenever I walk into rooms or have conversations, I am focusing on listening to the value that the person connects with more than what they bring to the table. So all these different interests, you're in the space and the sea of your interests, your talents, your gifts, write them down, okay? Write them down and list out what are the values behind each of those interests. Because we have something called the passion languages. As someone who is deeply, deeply ingrained in the work of light and dark arts, one of the things I recognize over a long period of my studies is in energy work, one of the things that we pick up along the way are passion languages. Passion languages are languages that are gifts that we receive by exploring a particular interest over time. And the best example I like giving is, for example, reading, right? I used to be a massive reader, and I used to have a friend who was also a massive reader. And while we were exploring that interest of reading, I received a separate gift in comparison to hers. My gift was to be able to literally download concepts in minutes. Whereas while she did not have that gift, she had the gift of articulation. She was able to explain concepts that she had studied over periods of long periods of time and articulate that in the most beautiful, distilled way that that was understood by the youngest of the youngest mind, or, you know, whatever capacity the person was on. And these are passion languages, the gifts that you get by exploring that passion. The reason why I say find the value behind the interest is so you can understand what are your passion languages. When you understand what your passion languages are, you see the dance, the harmony of the whys, the reasons behind your interests, the gifts that make it all sense. It's a whole orchestra. When you recognize and fully sit in and embody that orchestra, you create your golden theme. That golden theme is the encompassment, the embodiment of all your passion languages, your values, the things you deeply care about, the things you stand behind, the things you will die on that hill for. That is the golden theme. And that golden theme allows you to walk into any room confidently and communicate that with passion that can be easily understood, transmuted, and downloaded and received by the people that surround you in that room. It doesn't matter. And I say this to, you know, the multiple spaces I'm in, for anyone who asks me, where do I start? If you can communicate your golden theme, you open up gates of abundance that you probably didn't even recognize that were possible within your sphere to come in. So that would be my beginning steps.
I can totally relate to that. And to bring in some other examples, I'll bring in some of my own examples. When I left high school, I was supposed to go to university. I did the opposite. I traveled the world and I became a scuba diving instructor. And when I look back on that, I was required to be in this immense presence because I was responsible for people's lives and they were under real intense anxiety and stress being underwater. And I was meant to be in this presence and this calming, I got you, I got you, I got you. As well as when you're underwater, most people don't realize there's a profound awareness of your breath. It's like. And you use your breath to move yourself in and up and down in the water. So breath and presence, which is two of the things that I teach now. And then later on, I was working with horses, which have been huge in my life, my whole entire life, huge teachers for me. They taught me healing. They taught me about my energy. They taught me presence again. And they taught me how to assist them, how to listen to what they needed in a form of non-verbal communication, you know, listening to their body, listening to their energy. And as well as a common thread of, I've always done things that light me up. Because to me, it's just something I've always felt in my heart. I need to be involved in things that I am yes to. Yes, yes, yes. Let's do this. Yes, yes, yes. This lights me up. So I can absolutely relate to that golden theme. I really love that. I see it as a golden thread that interweaves us through our experiences. Oh, I guess I just got bliss hit. Ooh, yes. Now, what do you find is major blocks or roadblocks or perhaps misunderstandings, misconceptions that really stop people from seeing their purpose and or saying yes to it?
That is such an interesting question because there are so many lenses to look at, you know, that particular thing through. But I have noticed that the more we gravitate towards these big questions of what is really holding me back, you've already taken that step of awareness. I feel the biggest thing that holds us back or people back in general is when you have reached a level of awareness and you're asking yourself those big questions, you're ready for implementation. But oftentimes we stew and we marinate in the journey. And we think just because we're on the journey, we cannot take, you know, we cannot reach a particular destination. I like to say that when you're on the road of, you know, on your ever-evolving purpose, it's like taking a round trip around the world. You can stop here, you can then travel a little bit longer and then stop there and then travel a little bit longer, experience, and still reach destinations, still touch your feet on those different, varying, diverse grounds. So I think the biggest obstacle in, you know, to use your term, is the hyper-awareness loop. A lot of times, people who are fully reach the stage of, I want to know what I'm doing next, or I know that there is a bridge I need to cross. The reason the bridge is not being crossed is because you have created this invisible barrier of, I need to process in this longer. I'm not ready to cross the bridge. When in reality, if you have already reached the point in front of the bridge, girl, you're ready to cross it. You're ready to make that cross. You're ready to reach the other side of it. And you're ready to fully experience what it's like to cross the bridge and also be on the other side of the bridge. So that's the biggest obstacle, the hyper awareness loop. Get out of it, you know, stop being in the space of, and I noticed this with so many beautiful intellectual people where they recognize their potential, but they feel, you know, one more degree, one more course, one more mentor, one more this, you know, one more healing session maybe. And they never take that implementation. They don't integrate. When the law of duality, the law, one of the biggest laws of the universe is you need to separate to then integrate. You cannot stay too long in the separation frequency of, yeah, that's not my narrative. That's great. But after that, there needs to be aligned, intentional integration. That's the biggest obstacle that most people face in really embracing their multipotent identity.
And when you say that you are ready or you aren't ready, clarify that a little bit more for the audience. What are you referring to? What is readiness?
Oh, yeah. Readiness is when you know that you're at the precipice of something, or it could be feeling absolutely lost. I love giving this example. I just had this beautiful, beautiful experience. I held a summit a few months ago, I believe, earlier this year. And Alara, you were a part of it. So, you know, after the summit, I felt the shift. And when I felt that shift, I was ready to take action. But I was stewing. I was stewing that, oh, maybe, you know what? I need a little bit more time. I need to prep my audience maybe for this shift. Or I need to do this. I need to do 10 million different things before I really do what I am feeling so called to do. And in that moment, I felt a little bit lost, but I also found so discovered and so found at the same time. And when this duality existed, I wasn't taking action because I was allowing myself to find reasons to get out of this duality, when the truth was that the duality needed to be there for my next evolution. So for those who are at that space of understanding, am I ready? That would look like, what am I even doing? What is my purpose? You might be asking yourself that. Or, you know, I want to transition out of this. I'm not feeling fulfillment or joy. I don't really see what is this bringing to the table in my life. You might be at that point. Or you could be having an amazing stable career or you're in an amazing relationship, but something is missing. I promise you, you're not crazy for thinking something is missing. It's just misalignment that's redirecting you to a more aligned frequency for yourself. These are the moments when you're ready. Just when you feel like, hey, I cannot leave this relationship, or I cannot do this for my brand. I cannot change my offerings. I cannot shift the entire dynamic of my business. Just when you have those thoughts, you are ready to do just those. So yeah.
I love that. It's like the magnetic pull of the intuitive hit, like that sense that you're being pulled into something. And also kind of that level of fear of, well, I can't do that. That's too much. That's too big. That's too drastic. I can't. But you feel that pull, don't you? I often also equate it to a wave. Like it just picks you up and it's like, all right, I'm riding this wave. And there might be some apprehension about, I don't even really know if I know how to ride the wave. However, there's just this kind of movement that desires to move forward. Yes. And I feel that magnetism, that intuitive hit. I always say that point when you really feel that pull and you feel that fear, that, oh my gosh, can I really take that on? Oh, that's such a powerful spot. Yes, yes, yes. You're in it, right?
That is the potency. That is the potency spot. And I always say fear and excitement are two faces of the same coin. When something lights you up, you're going to be scared of it. And when you're scared of something, it also secretly lights you up. I know it's twisted, but it's the truth.
It is the truth, and it's such an important thing to say. So I hope the audience really heard Sway on this, you know, saying fear and excitement go hand in hand, because yes, those things that are here to guide us into higher, more larger, more impactful versions of ourselves are going to light us up, and they are going to invite us to take action, to take steps, to put ourselves out of our comfort zone. Right? And as we all know, it's out of our comfort zone that we expand, that we grow as individuals, and that we really bring forth and even recognize our own gifts, right? Because we can sometimes not even see our gifts when we're in the comfort zone. And when we have that, like, oh my God, this excites me, and it scares me, and I'm going to take action. Wow, it's so beautiful how, oh my gosh, look at the level that I am working at and functioning and rocking it.
Yes.
So how do you help people through these obstacles that they are feeling in themselves? Perhaps through their self-doubt, how do you assist your clients? And, you know, again, you're such an inspiration, just the people you inspire to be able to get out of that loop that you were speaking to and into their purpose realigned.
Oh, yeah. I have this unique approach, an unconventional approach. Most of my clients, they're drawn to me because of my unconventionality and anti-traditional approaches. I am a practicing psychologist who combines energetics and really go deep into the psyche and the energetics of the soul and bring that out into flesh, into reality, into manifested space. And the way I do that is I like doing intuitive therapies where I combine a little bit of hypnosis, a little bit of archetypal tarot readings and human design, gene keys, numerology, and Vedic astrology to really bring out the flavors of what is the visionary trying to communicate to the brand. Because my perspective is that our brand, while it's an extension of us, just like children are extensions of us, we have a parent-child dynamic with our business. And being the fact that our brand is the core and the heart of our business, there needs to be a level of intimacy with the brand in itself. And that intimacy does not come through conventional or traditional outlooks of brand strategy or, you know, navigating, you know, combining the purpose and translating that ever-evolving purpose specifically into strategy. So I bring forth the flavor of the deep psyche unlocking and really seeing what are the deeply conditioned narratives that are holding the visionary back to communicate their truest truth, and then bringing the flavor of spirit, of divinity into that, and bringing forth the archetypal energies that really guide us. I'm big on, you know, spirit guides, archetypes. I feel like spirit guides around us, the energies, the frequency that we touch base with, they are the archetypes that we have within ourselves that are unactivated. And when they join us on the path, they become activated archetypes that we take power from to really walk our path. And I use those archetypes into the brand strategy, break down the combinational chart. This is something that I came up with, a combinational chart that focuses on looking at your numerology, your Vedic astrology, your human design and gene keys all together, and translating that into your brand foundations, your strategy, and your flow. How do all these moving parts look like in alignment to your psyche and your energetics? We're tapping into the feminine, we're tapping into the masculine, but we're also creating room for this Russian doll of hyper-femininity holding space for hyper-masculinity, and hyper-masculinity also holding space for hyper-femininity. So there is this concept of elevated groundedness and grounded elevatedness. So that's my approach. That's the way I work.
That sounds amazing. And intimacy, you're speaking my language. To me, it is about intimacy. To me, our entire experience is about intimacy. Like if we are not intimate with ourselves, like all of those aspects you're speaking to, right? Our gifts, our shadow, what we were brought into this world with, and where, you know, we are headed. And we can find that in astrology and gene keys, human design, all of these different aspects, the multifaceted version that we are. If we don't have that connection and that intimacy, we can't really allow that full fruition of our brilliance, of our genius into this life. And yes, absolutely feel that. So are you working, obviously you're working with entrepreneurs. Are you working with established entrepreneurs or ones who have their business? Or are you also working with people who are, you know, perhaps if there's anybody in the audience who is thinking about starting a business and is like, oh my gosh, that's just so large of a concept. How do I even begin to take a bite? Who are you working with?
Oh, yeah. I work specifically with, and I call in deeply, multi-potentialized creative visionaries who are at least in, you know, their third year of business. They know what works for them, but they don't fully know what is sustainability for them. For me, the biggest thing is aligning everything that works for them, everything that lights them up, with their financial freedom by bringing the flavors of sustainability. Sustainability that could look like anything. You know, my sustainability is different to yours and theirs. So I specifically speak to, work with, collaborate with multi-potentialite creative visionaries who are looking to be empowered. I have this very deep approach where I am not looking to fix anyone, heal anyone. I feel like there's no fixing, no healing needed. You are an empowered individual who can take decisions in a very empowered space. I'm just here to create that playground where you can play in and evolve. My biggest mission here is to be a part and co-create the path to your evolution. So those are the people that I'm speaking to, because those are the people that activate me in reflection as I'm activating them.
I love that, the activating you and the reflection. I have that as well with my clients. And yes, the unconventional, I feel this is so important right now. We are moving into a space where unconventional, abnormal, not normal, all of these are going to become the spaces that are, again, our genius, our power, really has the spaciousness to express itself. Because these conventional ways of business, of marketing, of brand, these conventional ways of just even how to function as a human are very rigid and box-like. And they don't allow, just as you were saying, when you felt into what you were bringing into teaching, they don't allow our full creative expression and who we uniquely are. And it's so important that we all bring our authentic self to the table, because it is all of the puzzles of the pieces of the puzzle of all of our uniqueness that makes humanity so great. Right? All of us just blending in and looking like each other is not where genius is really activated and experienced. And these are the ways that we really bring humanity up to higher levels of consciousness. So thank you, Sway, for doing that and for being unconventional, especially in business.
I'm proud of that one.
Such a breath of fresh
air. Absolutely. I mean, it goes back to you. I feel unconventionality sees and reflects unconventionality. So we're on the same frequency because of our unconventionality.
Yes. Even through with my business, you know, working with mentors and they're like, oh, market this way and do that. And I'm just like, wow, that just doesn't resonate at all. And they're like, well, that's how it's done. And I'm like, really? That's your answer? That's how it's done? That is such a shitty answer.
Oh my goodness. I relate with that so much. I mean, when I started my journey, I had a coach who specifically was like, no, you've got to do it this way because this way works. And I really had to say, I am sorry, but this is no longer in alignment. That's it. And it really opened up the doors as to how when we are in that desperation of seeking our purpose, which again goes back to hyper-awareness, we feel that we don't have the power within ourselves to activate ourselves. That's why one of my marketing things is that I don't speak the language to someone as though there's a problem or there's something that needs to be fixed or something that needs to be healed. I am speaking to the empowered individual. I am speaking to the one who recognizes that they are full of fucking potential. I apologize for the profanity there, but I truly am resonating and speaking to those who are fully in their power and ready to take their power and channel it, you know? So unconventionality is kind of the, what do you call that? The trampoline for that to actually happen. Otherwise, yeah, you're right. You know, we'd be wearing suits and masks of conventionality that looks good on paper and that never really works out in the long term. And we feel unfulfilled and completely exhausted our desire for life. And that inevitably takes away our life force. And what are we without our life force, really? So,
yes, takes away our radiance, takes away our bliss, our ecstatic abilities. And it's just, you know, in my opinion, just not where we're moving. We're moving into the unconventional. So thank you. Thank you. And Sway, go ahead and let, you know, the audience know, how can they find you? How can they reach you? Where can they see you and connect with you?
Oh, yeah. Thank you for sharing this space with me. I feel like the best way anyone can reach me is you just need to type Sway to success. Sway with S-W-E-Y. And my intentionality here is to help you sway to success. So all you need to do is type anywhere, whether it's Instagram, LinkedIn, TikTok, anywhere, literally, Sway to success, and I will pop up. My face will pop up. So yeah.
Yay. Okay. So it is time for activation. Woo, 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 woo. We're going to bring in some energies here, right here, right now, around purpose, right? And for the audience, you're just going to follow along, and we're doing this all together. All of us are doing this together. knowing that when we do this together, we activate each other, we activate ourselves, we activate the world, okay? So let's close our eyes and let's take just three nice deep breaths in through the nose, out through the mouth, okay? Breathing at your own pace. Beautiful. And I want you to bring your awareness to your pelvis, feeling your pelvis, feeling what you are sitting on, feeling that subtle gravitational pull, and just allowing right here in your pelvis, bringing in the energy of allowance and repeating after me, I allow. I allow. I allow. A nice deep breath all the way down into your pelvis as we're activating and igniting your Shakti, activating and igniting your passion energy, your passion, my love, for your purpose, your passion, my love, for your multidimensional self, activating this in your body right now, taking one more nice deep breath. And I want you to go ahead and place your hands over your heart, taking your awareness to your heart space. This is where all of your purpose lies vibrationally, all of your purpose as a frequency of sound. A frequency of sound lies here in the heart. Breathe into that chest. And with each inhalation, you're creating more space. We are creating more space here now with each inhalation for your purpose. Creating more space with each inhalation for your purpose. Creating more space in your heart to receive more guidance, to receive more intuition and alignment for your purpose, and to align here now your passion with your purpose with your passion, your passion with your purpose, aligning heart and pelvis, aligning Shakti with your pelvis and your heart, breathing in, nice deep breath, expanding, expanding, expanding. Yes, 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 beautiful. And saying out loud, repeating after me, I am divine love. I am divine love. Beautiful. Repeating after me, I am divine intelligence. I am divine intelligence. As your next inhalation, more of your purpose is activating, activating in your heart, activating in your womb, my love, connecting womb to heart now, connecting womb to heart now. Yes, yes, yes. Beautiful. One more nice deep inhalation and let it out of the mouth. Ah, ooh. Yay! Aho, aho. And so it is, and so it is, and so it is. With the divine trinity, the perfection of three, it is done. Thank you, thank you. I open your eyes.
Wow. I always love these activation spaces with you.
They're so good. They're so yummy. I love them. That's why I do them, because I love them so much.
Literally, as you were channeling that, I felt like the stream of Shakti consciousness just sit with me and like do a whole tantra within me. And I'm like, okay, I love this juiciness. I'm flowing, I'm flowing, I'm flowing.
You, Jai Jai Ma Shakti. Yes, yes, yes. Thank you for that reflection. I always appreciate that. Thank you so much, my love, for being here today. Thank you so much for bringing your intelligence and your courage and your energy to this podcast, to the audience. And just again, thank you. Thank you so much for being your unconventional, brilliant, courageous self. I appreciate you.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much for having me. I just felt so deeply nurtured in this conversation because of our frequency. I love you. I love your energy. And I love this entire conversation that lit me up and that we shared.
Yeah. So now we can go out into the world with that light and share it into our day. So thank you to the audience for tuning in, and be sure to tune in next week. Also be sure to share this beautiful episode with your friends, with your family, with anybody that you know needs to hear this important message about purpose. And be sure to subscribe, and we will see you next week. Good day.
Thank you for being a part of the Ecstatic Women podcast. As you experience each new day, we want you to feel that you are capable of tapping into your inner wisdom and living your life ecstatically. If you want to be invited back to the next episode, just subscribe to our podcast. And if you need more information in the meantime, go to alarasage.com.